Today's scripture comes from the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples, especially Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you." Overcome with terror and dread, they fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Well, here we are, Easter Sunday, and thank God, for more reasons than one, we survived this long winter, which belted our community with two historical snowstorms right when we thought we were out of the winter woods. Thank God Easter Sunday is here. We've shared experiences between our liturgical seasons, moving from Advent and Christmas to Epiphany and Lent. Those experiences have included emotional valleys of death and illness, relationship or financial crisis. And thanks be to God, they have included experiences that are joyous mountaintops of love and sharing during reconciliations and renewals and emotional or physical healings. Thank God. Easter Sunday is here. Amen. Now what? It seems to me to be a valid question for us to ask. For as Christians, we commit to doing our best, to following Scripture, applying it to our lives, claiming it as authority. And yet, now what? What do we do with the good news of this gospel story of Jesus' resurrection? Perhaps first we should look a little closer at Scripture and not just at the common lectionary passage that was chosen today, which, by the way, will be preached across the world and across denominations, liberal, conservative alike. But maybe we should look at the other gospel texts which describe the resurrection. Some interesting facts about this story. It is in all four gospel accounts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of these writers include this story. No wonder it's given so much attention. It is, after all, the linchpin of our Christian heritage as it weaves together the ministry of Jesus and his life's abrupt and cruel end. So immediately after explaining that, the writer seeks to give hope to the end of the story. So we find resurrection of some form in all four gospel accounts of the history of Jesus. Now here's the challenging news. I don't call it the bad news because I, for one, don't think it's bad. Yet I believe it's challenging. And it speaks to the core of who we are as some who proclaim ourselves to be progressive Christians. Those who take the Bible as our authority, but not literally. For you see, when we read all four gospel accounts of the resurrection story, we find some stark differences. And I'm not really sure how biblical literacy balance and reconcile these differences. But I'll leave that to them, and that's another sermon. What I want to do is to challenge us you and I this morning to take some time to review these four different gospel accounts. But in pastoral fashion, and because you pay me a bit, I've done some of the work for you. Matthew's story is found in chapter 28. And Matthew's story has two Marys, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus. They are the two who arrive at the tomb. Now, the stone was still covering the tomb when they arrived, but the story goes that there was this great earthquake and an angel descends, rolls the stone away, and takes a seat. And then tells the two women, go tell the disciples that Jesus has risen. And as they were leaving the tomb scene, Jesus appeared to them and later to the disciples. So two Marys arrive at a stone-covered tomb. Resurrection story number one. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, they arrive at the tomb. We're not really sure who they are, but later in the chapter, three women are named. Mary Magdalene, Mary, mother of Jesus, and Joanna. Y'all ever heard of Joanna in the Bible? Thank God for time to study. And there are other women included as well. When these women arrived, whoever they were, however many of them there were, we don't know. They found the stone rolled away. Not in place, as Matthew had them. And they were in the tomb discovering that no body of Jesus there. Two men in dazzling clothes appear and tell them that Jesus has risen. The women go and tell disciples, and Peter goes to check out the tomb. And then later Jesus appears to two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And Luke has quite the long story that follows. Creative writer he was. So women arrive at empty tomb, at least three of them. Resurrection story number two. Still with me? The writer of John has only one woman arrive at the tomb. Mary Magdalene. Seeing that the stone was rolled away and not even bothering to look inside, Mary runs to tell Peter and another disciple who Scripture says Jesus loved. Those two disciples get in a foot race to the tomb with the unnamed disciple winning the race. That'll preach. After they saw the empty tomb, John's story says they simply went home. Odd. But Mary Magdalene returned later by herself. And she has this beautiful reunion with Jesus, where Mary is found weeping. And a person resembling the gardener tells her, I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Mary went and told this to the disciples. And later Jesus appears to them as well, saying, peace be with you. And also saying, as my Father sent me, so send I you. He then breathed on them, saying, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, John also has a lengthy end to the resurrection of Jesus, having Jesus appear not once, not twice, not three times, but four times. And that, my friends, is resurrection story number three. Now comes Mark, our scripture for today. Remember that Mark is believed by biblical scholars across the board to be the first gospel account written. Matthew and Luke used his writings to create their own, adding to, taking away, offering different perspectives, all in attempts to persuade the early believers to stay the course and following in the footsteps of Jesus. So our passage today from Mark 16 has three women arrive at the tomb. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. They're on their way with spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Why? Because they knew he would be dead And that was traditional in the ancient community. And listen, they were worrying along the way. The scripture talks about worrying along the way about how they will ever manage to move the stone. A worry that will never come to pass. That'll preach too. For when these three women arrive, the stone has already been moved. And they see a young man. Scripture doesn't specify who it is, but many have assumed it was Jesus, since the story says he has a white robe and he's sitting on the right side. But whoever talked to them that day tells them that Jesus is not there. Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. The white-robed man continues. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you you would. I got to tell you, this is my favorite version of the resurrection. How exciting. Imagine you arrive to find an empty tomb. A guy in white tells you Jesus has been raised, to get up, to go to Galilee, and you will see him. And that same guy tells you to run and tell the disciples, ready, set, go. Except you don't go. Or at least they didn't. For Mark 16 ends with, they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. They said nothing. That's how Mark's gospel story ends. Period. Now, if you pick up a version of any Bible, it will have more verses beyond Mark 16:8. But biblical scholars conclude that these verses were added much, much later because people were uncomfortable with such an abrupt ending as having been told to share the good news and people saying nothing. So more verses were added to make us feel better. We wouldn't like it so much, would we, if the whole climatic story of the resurrection ended with, they said nothing. I'll tell you the truth. The real reason that Mark is my favorite version is not the excitement. It is the authenticity. And to be honest, and this might be scary to you as you hear this from your pastor, I don't really care about the four different versions. It does not matter to me whether it was one, two, three, or multiple women who arrived at the tomb first, or a foot race between two disciples. I'm not real concerned about whether the stone was in place or gone. And truly, I'm not bothered by when or whether Jesus appeared or to whom and how many times. As a theological student, still intrigued by these stories, I find each version to bring meaning and truth without claiming to hold any one of them as historical fact. How could I? They're so different. But as I invite us to do with all Scripture, and especially these resurrection stories, can we look to the heart of the gospel message? We can get so paralyzed with arguing about which story is correct. We have heard already this morning the danger that does in deciding who is in and who is out. Who is right and who is wrong. And who's going to be part of God's eternal realm and who is not. How sad when this happens. Taking all four of these gospel accounts together, including our passage today, it is easy to ask, now what? Now what? I love Mark's version because when posed with the now what question, those three women, They did what most of us do. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Can we admit this morning that too often that's what we do? We say we're changed by our relationship with God and with our desire to follow Jesus. Yet do we tell others about that change? Better yet, do we show others? Or are we afraid? Afraid that faith's too personal, so we don't need to share it. Afraid that our beliefs might offend others, so let's just not talk about it at the dinner table. Afraid that what we truly believe is contrary to what we say we believe. Are we afraid to show our faith because it may make us appear too radical or meddling? Do we speak up when we believe our faith causes us to include everyone in God's family instead of excluding based on some division created by religious or society authorities? Brothers and sisters, we claim to be resurrected people, don't we? Full of God's love and God's hope and God's grace and God's forgiveness. Do we tell folks about that? Do we show the world our faith by how we navigate through life's journey with all its peaks and valleys and disagreements with one another? Or do we share our faith only when it's convenient? Do we speak up when doing so might give people a different perspective of how a still speaking God causes us to use our faith in working for justice or protecting the environment or serving the least among us? Are we fearful as well? Too fearful? You see, what's common in all four of these stories is the first witnesses, whoever they were, men or women, in whatever numbers, what's common is that they were all called to share. They had a burden to tell. The burden to show that the reign of God shown fully in the life and ministry of Jesus would never die. Moving from the jaws of Jesus' death into God beckoning them and us once again to follow. That's what the call was. To share, to go, to do. And yet some of them didn't do that. They hunkered down in safe silence. I know this morning that in many, many churches, people are going to proclaim what they believe. They will proclaim, "Hallelujah, He is risen." And we sang that together in our opening hymns. I'm all for proclaiming what we believe. I am a preacher, by the way. And yet it seems to me that proclaiming is just the beginning of our resurrection story. Living it out. Now that's where the rubber hits the road. For no matter what we believe about the resurrection, whether it was physical or spiritual or somewhere in between, how we live our lives will give a clear signal to how and if resurrection really matters to us at all. People are watching people of faith. With the proclamation that we are resurrected people, full of love and grace and forgiveness. Those first to the tomb perhaps share feelings closely akin to our own, thinking we're off the costly hook of discipleship. They were prepared to anoint the body and commence the grieving. But to the terror and amazement, they discovered the challenge was still before them. Sometimes it's as if some of us want to join the first tomb witnesses with a peaceful response to Jesus' death, anointing him with spices and oils, silently grieving the one who died, instead of accepting with vigor the challenges and rewards of faithful living. The good news of resurrection stories, my brothers and sisters, in whatever version, is that the dream is alive. That God is not dead. That the reign of God found fully in the life and ministry of Jesus continues decisively. And yet it is so frightful to the first witnesses of the empty tomb. We proclaim resurrection. That we've seen God in some form, in some way, over and over again in our lives. We proclaim that we seek to emulate the example of Jesus who showed us how to live. And who in resurrection left us with God's Spirit to breathe in us and through us. With that Spirit alive and well, we cannot be silent even when we're tempted to be. We cannot live silently even when doing so would be so much easier. We proclaim to be resurrected people who are never the same again. Never the same again. When that proclamation is lived out, I tell you, the world's going to take notice. And then resurrection will happen again and again and again. Thank God it's Easter Sunday. May next Sunday and the next and the next also be Easter Sunday. We've reflected on the resurrection stories found in Matthew, Luke, John, and Mark. And experiences of women named Mary, Joanna, Salome, and various disciples. We know their resurrection stories well. With God's help, may the world know ours.